Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
For a person that works 9 to 5, it's hard to understand. How do you live like that when you don't know how you're going to pay your bills? Well, that's part of the artist's tension. She's like, why don't we have enough money to pay the bills this month when we had it last month? Well, you know, I didn't make the same amount of money. I didn't get the same gigs. I don't, everything is not the same. Until you reach a certain level in the entertainment business, your life has hills and valleys, highs and lows. So there's an up and down, there's a peaks and valleys in the artist's life.
Man who makes less money than me? Yeah. Will I date a man who's on hard times? Yes, absolutely. But I wouldn't date somebody who walks around the world cheap and unambitious. That just, we are not going to vibe in any kind of way. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I could make a billionaire out of a man who really wants that. And I feel like as a woman, there's a lot that we do that either builds our man up or breaks him down. I am a fantastic builder-upper, so I have case studies of men that have been built up by me and become better men through the course of the relationship. So I don't doubt that if I met a man who was amazing to me in every way and I believed in his soul and his spirit and his intentions and he had a dream, I would make that dream happen.
I like to be the decision maker. I like to be the breadwinner. I would love for one day to have a wife or a girlfriend, a long-term girlfriend, who will stay home and take care of the house. Like, I'm very traditional in that sense, but I don't think it awards me. I deserve this reward of a title as an alpha. It just is my preference. But, you know, if I have a friend who, it's the opposite, like he stays home and takes care of the kids while, you know, a woman like Adrian is working and, you know, bringing home the paycheck, I'm no better than him. I'm no different from him, really.
There's no such thing as a creep. I have a whole, you know, there's no such creepiness as an illusion that has conjured up from nerves, feeling ashamed, being apologetic about your sexual intention. And then it creates illusion of creepiness. Because if you ask women, what is a creep? They'll give you a whole assortment of different answers. They'll tell you it's a guy who's very sexual. Well, in that case, we're all fucking creeps, aren't we? All of us are creeps. I know I love sex. I must be the biggest creep in the room. So I think creepiness is just an illusion, which is conjured up from nerves, being apologetic, being ashamed or embarrassed about sexual intention. That's what makes a guy creepy, for lack of a better description.
I've had, you know, experiences where I'm actually teaching, you know. Like, I'll go to private adult clubs, or we'll have private pleasure parties for couples at their homes, where I'm actually teaching, sucking dick or eating pussy.
Really?
Or,
and you'll watch her suck his dick?
Uh-huh. Yep, I'll watch her. They really like it because I'm right there. So if they're doing something wrong, I'm right there to correct them. I can tell them, you know, how to do different things. And then, of course, you know, for some of them, it's the erotic factor.
This country is a corporation, and it is run by pharmaceutical companies and big business, which if you don't eat properly, you get sick. When you get sick, you take the drugs. So it's a continuous cycle putting money in the pockets of the corporation.
Okay.
Doctors and drugs don't cure, they prolong your life with an illness. So if you work out and you eat properly, you don't get sick, there's no need to take the drugs. If you don't take the drugs, who's not making a profit? So they tell you, eat this, this, and this, so that you get sick, take the drugs, to line the pocket. Dairy is the worst freaking thing you can put in your body, especially if you're black and lactose intolerant. There's no reason to consume dairy, actually, because dark leafy green vegetables will give you the calcium you need.
I think part of the problem on both ends is that most people aren't honest. They're just not honest about, they're not honest with themselves and they're not honest with the other person. And that is, to me, one of the biggest thing, the communication is just not happening. I think part of it is that most people, if they just be upfront and truthful about everything.
What you're saying is that they need to be upfront and straightforward with other people.
Upfront and straightforward with other people.
Oh my God, is this A. Allen Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman. But the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, Mode 1. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Allen Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Allen Roger Curry.
Sunset, I have become alive. I wish that I could have this moment for life, for life, for life. 'Cause in this moment I just feel so alive, alive, alive. I wish that I could have this moment for life. This is my moment, I just feel so alive, 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 alive.
One. Thank you for joining me tonight as I celebrate 6 years on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Yes, indeed. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 6th anniversary of Upfront and Straightforward with Allen Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Allen Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, May 30th. And most of my longtime listeners know I repeat most of the same stories every year when I do a anniversary show, I just put in the chat room, if you're not in the chat room, that this is going to be not too long of a show. I think last year, my anniversary show, I went like two and a half hours. The year before that, I think I went at least 2 hours. Tonight, I'm just going to stay on the air for roughly about an hour. Matter of fact, when I first started doing my shows, that's what most of them were. They were about an hour long show. I even had a few shows that were a half hour to 45 minutes. To give you the brief backstory again, well, it's not again for my new listeners. They might not know. I used to do a podcast program with a gentleman that's on Blog Talk Radio. He's still on Blog Talk Radio to this day. He's actually been on there probably now about 6.5 years. Guy named Steve Dedean Williams. Steve Dedean Williams is, he still does a show on Blog Talk Radio. And that's how I first found out about it, because we used to do a podcast program called The Black Book Cafe, starting with about October, November of 2006. And we did that all the way up until about late March, early April of 2007. And that's when Steve told me about this new thing he had discovered called Blog Talk Radio. So he had a show called Men on Dating. And I was, I would say, for most of April and the first week or two of May of 2007, I was a reoccurring co-host on his show, Men on Dating. And then, without getting into details as I have before, me and him had a falling out on the air, of all places. Yeah, I didn't like something he said, and I asked him to apologize to his listeners, and he refused to. And so I hung up on him. Now, since then, you know, we've been up and down in terms of our friendship. Right now, you know, we're pretty cool. Yeah, we had a falling out on the air. That was probably around early to mid-May of 2007. So I decided to go ahead and start my own show. So actually, the first episode of my show was on May 29th of 2007. That was the very first episode of my show. It was on May 29th of 2007, which I want to say was a Tuesday. Yeah, it was a Tuesday. But I didn't originally call it Upfront and Straightforward. I originally called it, this was interesting, my original name of my show, and most of my longtime listeners know this, it was called Balls Out Talk with Mode One. That was the original name of my show for like the first 3.5 weeks. It was, yeah, from roughly May 29th, which again was my first episode of my show, up until the last week of June, the name of my show was called Balls Out Talk with Mo One. And I had a few interesting episodes under that title, but honestly, not many listeners. I think the only show I had under that title that had a lot of listeners, I did a show about female sex toys. And man, I had a lot of women listening to that show and calling in. That was actually my most listened to episode under my original title. And then starting with, I want to say, June 28th of 2007, that was when, if I'm talking slow, I'm actually looking at the calendar to confirm, June 28th of 2007 was when that was my first episode under the current title, Upfront and Straightforward. Oh, okay. I got a call waiting. I will pick this up in just a second. I'm going to do this quick backstory again that all my longtime listeners have heard dozens of times. But if you're a fairly new listener, I just wanted to quickly tell you. Yes, I had my first show June 28, 2007. And, yeah, what it was, I wanted to get on the front page. None of my shows were being promoted on the front page. And I saw that certain shows would get promoted on the front page. So I wrote one of the, you know, upper brass of Blog Talk Radio. And I said, I would love to have my show get promoted. And the woman who worked for Blog Talk Radio at the time, she was a sweetheart. But she lightheartedly criticized. She said, Alan, I doubt seriously if we'll promote an episode of yours with your title being called Balls Out Talk. She said, that's just a little bit too racy, risque, et cetera, et cetera. And she said, the second thing, she said, it sounds like you just talk to your listeners directly. And not that it's a requirement for you to have guests, but we're more inclined to promote a show if they have guests on the show, if not regularly, at least semi-regularly. So that was the two changes I made. I changed the name based on her response to from Balls Out Talk to Upfront and Straightforward. And then I started inviting guests. But interesting enough, that led to me almost quitting. About 2 months after I started doing my show, I almost quit because I had three guests 3 weeks in a row flake on me. And it had me hurt, disappointed, and angry. 3 weeks in a row I had guests flake on me. So I was kind of like, forget this Blog Talk Radio stuff. It's not going to work for me. And the two people who always give credit when I do an anniversary show, they both used to do shows on Blog Talk Radio, but they no longer are on Blog Talk Radio. One was named Dr. Blockstein. I forget his real name. And another was Dangerous Lee. Dangerous Lee used to have a popular show on Blog Talk. Both of them had a popular show on Blog Talk Radio one time. Dr. David Brown. Thank you for that. David Brown is his real name. Most people on Blog Talk Radio knew him as Dr. Blockstein. And anyway, I had left Blog Talk Radio for about a month and a half, 2 months. And then when I came back to visit, I want to say around October, mid to late October of 2007, I saw that they had added chat rooms and made a few other, you know, additions and modifications. And so I was listening to an episode of Dangerous Lee's show, and she said, I noticed that you haven't done a show in a while. And I said, oh, I quit. You know, I'm just visiting. I'm not going to do any more shows. And Dr. Blockstein was like, hey, man, I don't really know you that well, but I actually heard a couple of your episodes, and you sounded very professional. You sound like you were tailor-made to be a talk radio host. He said, if I was you, I would continue doing your show. And that really meant a lot to me. It really, really, it just shows you how your comments to other people can be meaningful to them and vice versa, because I had already made up my mind that I was going to quit doing my show. But, yeah, because of the encouragement of Dangerous Lee and David Brown, a.k.a. Dr. Blockstein, I said, okay, I'm going to give it another chance. And so then I started doing shows, episodes again, in early to mid-January of 2008, and I've been doing shows ever since. I usually do shows, episodes. I usually start my seasons around mid to late September, and I go to early to mid-July. That's been my kind of pattern for the last few years. I usually take a break between roughly mid-July and mid-September. But, yeah, I've been doing episodes since, and again, there was a couple times I was going to quit that time, and then after the 2009-2010 season, I was actually leaning towards quitting, but it got talked in to keep doing it, and then after 2010-2011 season, I was going to quit again, but got talked in it. What keeps bringing me back is you guys listening to my show. Truthfully, if my show was only listened to by 100 or 200 people a week, I probably would have stopped doing my show. I would have let it go at least a couple of years ago. But to do a little tooting of my horn, my show, starting with January of 2008 till now, I have had more episodes ranked as the number one episode of the week in the category of romance than any other show. Any other show on Blog Talk Radio. No other show in the category of romance can say that they've had more episodes ranked number one than my show. Matter of fact, there was a stretch where I'm tooting my horn again. But I was dominating three categories for about a 6 to 12 month period. I had the number one episodes in self-help, romance, and books, because I was interviewing a lot of book authors. So some of my episodes would fall in the category of books, some would fall in the category of self-help. And yeah, I had a stretch where like literally like 90% of my episodes were always number one in their category. And anyway, I did that tooting to say that it's been because I know my show resonates with people is why I've been motivated to keep doing it. If I didn't feel like what I'm saying on my show and what my guests are saying, the knowledge and wisdom that they're offering, wasn't resonating with people, wasn't, you know, producing some type of beneficial results for people, then honestly, again, I would have let the show go probably 2 or 3 years ago. But I get emails all the time from listeners, male, female, old, young, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, international, just different people from different backgrounds saying that they'll pick out one show and they'll say, man, that one show helped me out so much. That one guest said this that helped me out so much. And so that's why I'm appreciative of all my listeners. And now I'm going to take a call from area code 203, which is one of the staff here at Blog Talk Radio. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, Roger. Alan, I'm sorry. This is Amy from Blog Talk Radio, Amy Domestico.
Hey, Amy Domestico. Wait. Amy, before I go on, I'm going to give Amy what I do with my with all my guests when I introduce them. Listeners, give her some love. Has been around for a number of years. If you mind me asking, how long have you been with Blog Talk Radio?
Since the beginning, and I think you're probably the only other person here besides me and the owners who've been here that long. No, I kid. We have a lot of longtime hosts, but I really wanted to call in because I saw you're doing your 6-year anniversary, and I did let Alan know, and he was going to try to call in. He had something he had to do tonight, but he does have it on his calendar. If he gets a minute, he'll call. He spends his best if he can't. And I guess from listening to you, I think I was the person you talked to about the name of your show back then.
You might have been. If you've been here that long, because I can't remember who I spoke with the name.
Yeah, I remember that.
But there's a good chance that was my first, matter of fact, I want to say that was my first real major interaction with somebody from, like, you know, the administrative staff. Because I was like, how can I get on the front page? Because, you know, it was a big deal. Well, it still is a big deal, I think, for a show host when you have your show promoted on the main page. You know,
right.
Like, for example, tonight's show, I'm featured, and I appreciate you guys featuring me.
Yeah.
And I always get excited when I have a show on the front page.
Yeah, I do think it was me because I think I was probably the only female here at that point. But, and I'm sorry that you had such a problem afterwards. I wish we would have talked again after that, because we love your show. We appreciate you, and I think when people are here so long with us, we have a lot of longtime employees here. Once you're working for Blog Talk Radio, we kind of don't let you leave. But you become sort of a part of the family, you know. And you being here so long, we really feel like you're part of our Blog Talk Radio family here. So we do appreciate you. I hope you know how much we appreciate you and your dedication to what you've done. You've been through all the ups and downs with us and the changes to the website, and you've seen that the site evolve into what it is today, and You've evolved right along with us, it seems. It seems like you've gone through some of the speed bumps we have, and, you know, we've had to redefine ourselves a few times. But the message is always still there, and your original goal is always still there, as like with you, you know. So.
Well, I appreciate you saying all of that because, yeah, I will say, honestly, on the negative end, I've had my share of, as you call them, speed bumps. Even I'll be more specific in saying I've had some technical difficulties that I've sometimes complained to one or more of you guys about. But on a positive end, I have to say this. You guys did a great job of creating an online venue that presents itself as very upscale and professional, because I'll be honest, I had some guests, a good number of my guests, I want to say at least one third of my guests were guests who had never done Blog Talk Radio before. I've had a few guests who have, but a lot of them had not. And I had some, honestly, who were hesitant. They were like, I've never heard of Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
And but then when they came and checked out the site and they saw some of the other, you know, named guests who have been on here, and so basically how organized the site was, that's when they went ahead and said, okay, yes, Alan, I'm willing to do your show. You know, I checked out the site. It looks good. It looks like some quality people have been on there. And so I give you guys kudos for that.
We make it very simple for people. Yeah, thank you. We make it very easy for people to host a show, and as well as for your guests just to call in. I produced a show tonight for somebody, and he was interviewing somebody pretty major. The guy was talking about 100 interviews he did this month, and he had to cut it down to 70 because of time factor. And, you know, he stuck with the Blog Talk Radio one because it is so simple, you know, to call in and do the show. You can do it from anywhere, you know.
Wait. Pause, please, Amy, on this. Did you say this guy did 70 interviews in 1 month?
Well, not the host, the guest himself.
Oh, the guest, okay.
Yeah, the guest himself. He's doing a thing right now. He's going to be, he's actually going to be walking across the Grand Canyon on a tightrope in June on the Discovery Channel.
Oh, wow.
And he's been doing a lot of interviews. But anyway, so all I really wanted to say is we appreciate you. Happy anniversary. Thanks for sticking with us and doing such a great job. And it's been wonderful to watch your show evolve along with us. You've grown with us tremendously, and it's just a great feeling for us to see you do well.
Well, I appreciate you. You're trying to get me choked up, Amy. That's what you're trying to do.
Aww.
I appreciate you. This is wonderful. No, really, I really appreciate you taking the time to call into my show and express these type of kudos to me. It really means a lot to me. I'm flattered and appreciative. Now, before I let you go, you have to do something that just about all my guests
do. I'm not
going to
go yet because I've got two questions for you before I go.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Well, I'll let you do the questions first, and then I'll have you do my favor.
Okay. I want to hear what your most favorite moment has been doing your show.
Amy, that's a tough question. Wow.
You probably have 100 favorites, but I want to
give
you one.
That's, I have so many
out the most
that would tie, honestly, for I've had so many great moments, but if I had to take a stab, it would be in my first year when I had my first what I would call marquee name guest, like celebrity type, a guy named Hill Harper, who for years, up until recently actually, he was on the show CSI New York, and he's a New York Times bestselling book author.
Okay,
and
good.
I was able to land him as a guest on my show, and I was getting a decent number of people in my chat room. I was averaging maybe about 25 to 30 people in my chat room. But the night I had him on, I had 90, almost close to 100 people in my chat room. To this day, that's the most people I've ever had in my chat room, ever. And
yeah.
I got goosebumps just seeing that many people in my chat room. So I would say that was arguably my most high note of since I've been doing this show was seeing 90 plus people in my chat room waiting to listen to the show and calling in. And that was a great moment. But I've, in general, though, I've had so many. Okay, and your second question.
My second question is, what is your what was your most oh my god moment? Like, when was it when you were doing your show and you had a guest or somebody on the show and you just were like, oh my god, it was either bad or it was good. It doesn't matter which, just an oh my god moment.
Oh, see, again, that's similar to the first.
You guys are good at these questions
because, man, they're tough to. They're not easy to answer because, again, I have so many of those. Matter of fact, that's kind of. That second question is almost part of, I would say, the popularity of my show. That's why a lot of listeners of mine listen to my show. Just for those moments that you described, that oh my god! Like I think God, it's so hard. I can name so many in that. I'm gonna highlight two. Well, first it depends. Now you know my show gets pretty provocative at times. I think you know that.
Yeah,
you and Alan know that by now.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
So I'm getting a little risque here, but. The two moments I had that were like, oh my god, just really like genuinely, like, because I think all radio hosts would agree that there's some guests you invite to your show and you just naturally expect it's going to be a great friendly conversation. Then there might be a handful of people you know might be controversial or whatever. Now, I've had a couple people, both were women, who I thought was going to be, I didn't mean to stereotype this only, because I've had bad conversations with men too, so I don't want to pick on the women. But the two that come to my mind were both female guests. But I'm tempted to say her name, but I'm not going to. She's not real well known, but she's been seen on like MSNBC, CNN. Mm-hmm. And actually, this is an interesting story. I got to tell you real quick. I didn't even know she was a fan of my show until you guys featured this particular guest. One thing I love that you guys do every February, you guys highlight Black History Month. And you have these special shows that, you know, highlight different, you know, men and women who've achieved great things in the African-American community. And I was listening to one of those shows, and this particular guest was talking about different things on the show. And I was impressed by a lot of what she had to say, so I wrote her a note. I said, wow, I would love to have you on my show, but, you know, my show centers around dating and relationships, and you seem to be more in the political arena. She said, no, I wrote this book, and I touch on relationships, and actually, I'm a fan of your show. Matter of fact, I'm in your Facebook supporters group. And I'm like, really? And sure enough, I go look, and she had been in my supporters group, because I have this, like, Facebook supporters group. Anyway, so I'm thinking we're just going to have this great conversation. And
God,
I have a book out, which I'm sure you and Alan probably know by now, but if you don't, the main thing I'm known for prior to coming to Blog Talk Radio, I have actually now four books, but my most well-known book is called Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. And so while she was in the phone queue, waiting for me to start, you know, I usually talk to my guests before I'm about to introduce them. And she said, you know, I'm familiar with your book, Mode 1. I said, oh, okay, cool. And she said, I think it's a bunch of bullshit. And I was like, whoa.
Oh,
you got it. You know, at first I thought she was just being lighthearted, so I kind of chuckled. But she was basically like, no, I'm serious. I don't agree with your book. Is, you know, I agree with the part where you're encouraging men to be honest and expressing their romantic and sexual desires, interests, and intentions. But the part I disagree with is that you don't realize that women, even if we have casual sex, we become emotionally attached to men. So even if you're honest, you're still dogging us out. And I was like, well, I really invited you on the show to talk about your book, but I said, if you want to debate me on this, we can go at it. Uh-huh. And she said, oh, I want to debate you on this. So anyway, we took it to the air, and it got really contentious. I'll write you a note, tell you who the name. You can listen to it in some free time over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, that was one conversation that I thought again was going
to
be friendly. And then one other quick one was a woman who wrote this book called, I want to say the title of her book is Slut, a memoir in Promiscuity. No, Good Girl. I think it's The Good Girl, a memoir in promiscuity. One of those two. Okay, now let me just ask you, Amy. If you were in my shoes and you invited a woman that had that book with that title, wouldn't one of your natural questions be, okay, what is your definition or description of promiscuous behavior?
Yeah, that's a normal question.
Yeah, wouldn't you think that would be like a normal in-line question? It's interesting on this show how, and my listeners know this, how sometimes I've gotten my guests angry just by asking them just what I consider a simple question, or more along the lines of the title of my show, an upfront, straightforward question. So anyway, during the interview, this woman, we were talking, and I just simply asked her, I said, what is your definition of being promiscuous? Like, would you say sleeping with 10 people makes you promiscuous? Would you say sleeping with 50 people? You know, she said, well, I really don't want to, you know, offer a definition because I feel like it would be judgmental towards my gender. And I was like, but your book is about promiscuity. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, so I asked her again. I said, just give me a brief. And she kept refusing. So,
oh, wow. That's,
I was like, I hated to go at it like this, but I was like, okay, right now you're being full of shit. And
yeah.
She didn't appreciate that. So in the break, we were on the phone, and she said, Alan, fuck you, F you, F you. And I was like, I love you too. She said, no, you're making me look like I'm not credible and that I'm full of it. I said, no, you're making yourself look like that. And so I'll send you the link to that. That was another interesting show. So
yeah,
I've had a few more moments like that. But those, oh, here's one more. I've told this story. Now, this doesn't have to do with a guest, but I just got to add this one more in. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know a lot of hosts, when they're doing their shows, they might be multitasking, whether it's on the computer.
I do my own show, so yes, we are. Well, there's a lot of multitasking going on.
So
yeah.
Can you think of a time where you might have been doing a show where something, I don't know, wherever the room in your house or whatever that you do your show? Anyway, my thing was, I was doing a show, and all of a sudden, I see out of my peripheral vision something flying around. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, that might be like, you know, just a house fly. Anyway, ends up being two hornets. And I'm pretty funny about anything that can sting me. Especially multiple times. So it was interesting because on the air, I behaved as though everything was calm. You know, nobody would know it if they were listening to me.
Oh, my goodness.
I was freaking out because I was like, oh, my God, why are these hornets, like, coming at my, you know, computer? Why are they flying? I mean, they were flying, like, literally right in front of me. And so I just kept talking.
Bees are one thing. Hornets are a whole different thing.
Yeah. So I ended up taking a break. I think I got some kind of spray. I don't even think it was red, like just Lysol or something. And I just sprayed them. Unfortunately, that was a moment that freaked me out. But those were very good questions. You knew that was going to challenge my answer.
I've had two moments like that. I was on a phone call today. Actually, it wasn't on a show, but I was doing a phone call with a host, actually, and all of a sudden this giant spider went crawling across my laptop, and it was going really fast. And I think I screamed and jumped, and the headset came unplugged, and yeah, that was a little embarrassing. And then I do the Blog Talk Radio University shows, the study hall one at 1 o'clock on Wednesdays, which we're on a little bit of a hiatus right now because we're dealing with some site issues. But and then the marketing show I used to do Tuesdays at 1 o'clock as well. And my mailman, and I don't know if you probably know that we have an office in New York City. I'm in Connecticut, as you know. And if I don't have to travel into the city, you know, I'm working from home. I have a home office, right? So, but I have a dog. And the mailman comes every day around 1 o'clock. And my dog howls. He doesn't bark. He howls. And the show starts at 1 o'clock. So with that on cue, every time I do a show, my dog will howl on cue within the first 10 minutes of every show I do. So, I mean, what do you do, right? What do you do?
That's funny. Okay, so before I let you go, since, again, you know the title of my book is Mo One, this is the favor I ask of just about all my guests or even sometimes my call-in listeners. I have mm-hmm. them stretch out the O's, and so I want you to give me your most enthusiastic Mo One.
I think you just did it for me. Oh, my goodness. All right, I'm going to give it a try. You ready?
I'm ready.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Your love front straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo
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 Thank you so much, Amy Domestico, for calling into my show tonight to help me celebrate 6 years on BTR. Your comments have been much appreciated, and again, that little Q&A was really challenging.
All right. You have a great rest of your show, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Listeners, I'm going to take an intermission break. And like I said, this is going to be a short show. I'm only doing an hour tonight. I see quite a few people in my phone queue, but I only see one waiting to talk, and that's my good friend. I'm going to talk to him when I get back after this intermission, so don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
No one.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexander Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Nikki Ransom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction. Right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller. Area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Alan.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog with lots of adventures and tips. It's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome. And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls.
If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you.
He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from. Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my first name.
Okay. Well, yeah, I will see you.
You will?
Soon. Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. You know, chap girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. Just want a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the bootcamp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and
stop being a fucking just what I mean, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my 6-year anniversary celebration show on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back to my 6-year anniversary show here on Blog Talk Radio. That's right. I've been here for 6 years. My very first episode on Blog Talk Radio was, again, on May 29th of 2007, even though, again, it was under a different title. It was originally called Balls Out Talk. And then my first episode as Upfront and Straightforward was actually on June 28th of 2007. And I want to give some shout-outs. I see 60179 in my chat room. Thank you for joining me. I see Dax Worm in my chat room. I see my number one loyal listener. She in my chat room because her Miami Heat are beating the Indiana Pacers right now, 86-72. You can see if the Heat was losing, she wouldn't be in my chat room right now. At least I don't think. But yeah, they putting another decisive victory. So now it's game six. And then if Indiana wins that, it's going to go to game seven. I got Edge92 in my chat room. I got Frankie. Frankie's in my chat room. And interesting enough, if you go back and listen to the archive version of this episode, I actually included some of Frankie's comments in my opening, audio collage of, I usually when I do an anniversary episode, I include comments that stuck with me from either the guests of this current season or, in some cases, a listener who called in, and that was the case with Frankie. He called in on the show about women wearing the pants, and he offered some comments that I thought were very good comments. So, yeah, he's in the reel at the very beginning of the episode. Oh, 60179 says, great show, Alan. I'm a new listener. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I got Nelson, my main man Nelson, in the chat room. He's been joining me quite a bit in 2012 and 2013. I appreciate him. Got Patricia Adams Live in my chat room. Now, you know, this next user in my chat room, he actually pronounced his username for me, and he said it real smooth, too. I mean, when he said it, it came out real smooth. But I know I'm going to still fuck it up. It's Seuss. I always say just Susi Daisos. But he actually called in an episode and told me not only how to pronounce it, but he said it had a certain meaning to it. As a matter of fact, before I close out tonight, I'm going to have him call back in again because I want him to pronounce his username. And then I have the Therese Chef is in my chat room. And right now I always give Diva, Adrian, a.k.a. Diva, 362636, as kudos as being my number one most loyal listener. Well, a close second, even though he's rarely in the chat room, but he listens definitely in my phone queue to probably 19 out of every 20 episodes I have. And that would be my good friend who was just had a visit here in the Northwest Indiana area. He was my brother's co-best man in his wedding, and I always give him a shout-out at the beginning of most of the shows when you hear me say, I usually say, Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin, the Pulliam, the third, EVP3, a.k.a. Match 1. What's up, Match 1?
Woo! Oh, one.
Wait a minute before you start talking. I gotta do the chant for that. No,
no. Alan Roger Curry.
No, no.
You're up front, straightforward.
No, no.
Alan Roger Curry.
No, no.
No, 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 no.
Well, man, EVP, you've been listening to my show pretty much from the beginning, man. What's a few of your brief thoughts about the show? And then, secondly, I'm going to ask you a tough question like Amy asked me earlier. I want you to highlight at least one episode from this current season that sticks out in your mind that left an indelible impression on you, and then just another episode that doesn't necessarily have to be from this season.
Oh, wow. So say it once again. What's the first question?
Oh, the first question, I just said, really, I guess three questions. First question was more of a request. I said, just give me some of your brief thoughts on being a listener of my show. That's number one. Number two, what's an episode starting with mid-September of 2012 up until now? Is there any one episode that kind of, you know, stuck with you more than other episodes? And then third, just an episode that's not necessarily from this season that really that kind of stuck with you for a while.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think one thing that I would say first of all would be that I like most about the show is because the consistent nature and certainly the frank and openness, and it's just highly informative. You know, whether you have open forums or you're having guests, it's always highly informative. You can get a lot of valuable information from each and every week on the show. So that is what I would say there. Let's see. I think my next answer to the question would be this season. I would say this, the show that had to do with the fathers and how they were responding, dealing with things with their daughters. I think it was a 13.
Listeners, in case you don't know, listeners, I did a show just a few weeks ago. That the title was Fathers Who Don't Want Their Really Daughters in General, but I always say most fathers know their daughters at some point going to start having sex. So I specifically limited to their teenage years. Fathers who didn't want their daughters having sex between the ages of roughly 13 and 19. And, yeah, I can see why that would be an interesting show to my friend Irv, because he has a lovely young daughter. I think she's just beyond that range. She's maybe like 20, 21 now. But, yeah, that was an interesting show. I had a couple people call in. And so, yeah.
I think that was definitely hit home for me. Even though, like you said, my daughter was just out of the range. But I still got a lot out of it. And it also caused me to suddenly have a lot of reflection and reminisce. Again, though, it's always very informative. And then I think your third question for me is there's so much. That's a tough question in that talking 6 years. I can think of so many shows. I would say, well, one is when you did several shows with them. It was shows you did with Hill Hopper. I thought those were always great, all great shows. I certainly enjoyed those. And certainly most all the shows you did with David X. I know there's been some sauciness there, but those shows you did with him I thought those were all very entertaining and informative and interesting shows. Like I said, there's been so many. You know, I look forward to the show every week and looking forward to seeing what's going to be talked about and what's going to be said and what I can learn from the show.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, EVP, man, because, you know, there's certain people I look for in my chat room just about every week that relaxes me when I'm about to do my show. And, of course, your number is one that I look for in my phone queue. And, Yeah, so I definitely, you know, away from the radio show, I appreciate you being a friend, but I definitely appreciate you being a very loyal listener to this show. You've always given me encouragement, support. Matter of fact, that one episode that I was talking about with Amy, you very much remember that show because you helped me calm down during that episode. I was hot during that episode, man. I was pissed.
Yeah, man. I remember that. And there's been some hot shows, but I remember that one.
Yeah, man. We ended up having, for listeners don't know, well, I'm going to go ahead and say her name because actually me and her kind of did arrive at a truce through Twitter. But the episode, if you were listening when I was talking to Amy, I was telling about a couple of controversial episodes. It was an episode with a young lady named Sophia A. Nelson, who's a book author and a political commentator. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to disparage her, but the basic deal was I invited her on the show to talk about her book, but she started off the show slamming my book. And, of course, I'm going to get argumentative about anything to do with my books. So, yeah, anyway, it just got really contentious. She ended up hanging up early. And after she hung up, Irv, who's on the line now, and one or two other guys, one I remember was Jason, a guy named Jason who lives in L.A., and one other listener, we kind of had this impromptu mail session. We were all just on the phone. It was really them helping calm me down because I was riled up. I was pissed at this show. So if you look in the archives, listeners, go back and listen to the Sophia A. I think it's from 2011. Sophia A. Nelson. And the other show I was referring to was this woman. I don't know if I can remember her name. I know her last name was Hoffman. I want to say her name was something like Christy Hoffman. And she wrote a book about being promiscuous, but then she didn't want to define what promiscuous means. So I just thought that was weird. But anyway, yeah, again, Irv, much appreciation to you, man. I love the fact that your mother was able to hook me up with some of that legendary peach cobbler, man. Dude, shoot, man, that stuff, man. Listeners, you probably heard me talk about it a few times, man. His mother, I've never been an alcoholic. I've never been a cocaine user. But if her peach cobbler was a drug, I'd have to go to rehab because that stuff is just off the chain good. And
yes.
Yeah, man.
And she heard your show. As you know, when I was back there, she thoroughly enjoyed that. She had some eye lifting moments, but she wasn't like, you know. You know, blown away, you know, she told you how she felt, but she really was into it. You know, you could tell somebody's listening. She was really intentional and paying close attention and she really enjoyed it. I mean, she got the essence. I think everybody can get the essence of your show that you mean, you know, you really take to heart what you're doing and you're into it, you're intense. I know there's a lot of strong qualities, but certainly some of the ones that I appreciate the most is that you hold people too, you hold your guests and people to come on the show accountable to what they're saying. If they are guests, you know, and they're on the show, we try to, our guests or someone that calls in, to try to keep people on point on the topic that you're covering. Is another great quality and just that you know like I said, you want to make sure that people are if they can explain, you know, what they're supposed to be an authority on or whatever maybe their beliefs are and so forth and so on.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, man, you articulated that very well, and yes, again, I just thank you, man. Thank you again, man, for, you know, being a loyal listener, a good friend, and it was good seeing you, and I'm going to have to come out and hang out in Seattle, man. Matter of fact, since you left, I was talking to somebody, and they said, man, you ain't never been to Seattle? I said, no. They said, oh, this is what this person said. They said, you'll almost forget you're in the United States when you're in Seattle. I said, wow, that's a strong comment. So I had to come out there. But continue to listen. Continue to support me, brother, as long as I decide to do this show. And, you know, again, just appreciate you.
All right, man. Keep on keeping on and keep on doing it. We're trying to break records for many more years. Many more years. I want to go keep it going on.
Listeners, again, that was EVP 3, Urban V. Pulliam the 3rd, who back in the day was kind of my informal personal trainer. He got me to love jogging, and he would never allow me to, as I mentioned on one other episode, his classic line was, man, I ain't going to allow you to just mildew de facto. That's classic EVP language. He said, that means just laying around the crib being lazy, like just watching TV, being unproductive, not doing shit. That means you engaged in mildew de facto behavior. And yeah, he was always against me being in mildew de facto mode. I got one more caller before I wrap up. Like I said, I was going to close this show out early. Now I'm going a few minutes over an hour. I was only planning on doing this about an hour today. But area code 906. You're now up front and straightforward. Who's this?
Hey, this is Jesse. I'm from actually Michigan. So
Jesse from Michigan.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Escanaba in the Moonlight?
See,
that's kind of where I'm from, Escanaba there.
Oh, okay.
Up in the
okay,
UP.
Okay, no, I haven't seen that movie.
Actually, it's a good movie if you haven't seen it.
Okay,
I got a comment, and then I got a question.
Okay, give me that title one more time. Give me
Escanaba
that title of the movie again.
Escanaba in the Moonlight.
Escanaba in the Moonlight.
Escanaba.
Oh, Escanaba.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And your comment and question.
Comment is congratulations on, you know, Blog Talk Radio. And I've read all of your books. Really good. Good job. So
thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Then you know, keep on keeping on. So my question is it's kind of a small town where I live. So do you have any specific advice, I guess, per se, for like small town dating advice or something like that?
Oh man, small to me the easiest. Well, I ain't gonna say always, but many times that's the easiest scenario to date, because if a town is really small, then you'll probably end up meeting women through just women you already know, and. So, you know, well, I would say this. Based on my experience, there's kind of simultaneous advantages and disadvantages of being in a small city. If
yeah.
you're in a small city, then number one, just simply the pool of women is going to be smaller. And so, you know.
Here, too. So it's very
you
clicky.
Might end up running into the same women over and over again, seeing the same women. And I tend to say that small cities lend themselves better for finding, you know, a long-term companion, especially
yeah.
if the small city has more men than women. If the ratio is more men than women, then it almost behooves you as a man to just get one partner and stick with her. So, yeah, if your interests are more in the long-term monogamous type relationship, that's where I would say small cities, in my opinion, have the edge. Now, larger cities, if you're more looking to sow your oats and, you know.
Yeah, the short-term non-monogamous.
Short-term,
you know,
non-monogamous.
Yeah.
You can still get that done in a small city, but not with the same effectiveness. Well, let me almost retract my own statement, because one of the first cities I was successful in was Bloomington, Indiana, which is the location of Indiana University. That was when I first started BMO1. And that city, I mean, it's a large college campus, so you could say it was quite a few women down there. But compared to, say, a city like New York, L.A., Chicago, that type of thing, Bloomington is a small city. But I had a lot of success, you know. But, again, that's a little bit different because that's a college town.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, a lot of women there. But,
Yeah,
I would say you can still be successful with casual sex with in a small city, but it's a little more challenging than when you're in a large
city. Yeah. Like, because what I noticed, especially, like, in a small town, the same people that you see at Walmart are the same people that you see at the bar, you know, later on that day. So, you know, it's, I mean, there's a college town about an hour away from here. There's another one about 4 hours away from here, but, you know, not like I'm going to be running, you know, an hour away just to, you know, meet people and stuff. So, but I plan to be getting into the Army here soon. So, you know, that way that I can get out of a small town. I've never been in a big city before, so I'm kind of, you know, curious about what's that, you know.
Well, I find people either love big cities or they hate them. There's very few in between. I know I have some friends and relatives, they can't stand big cities. Me, personally, that's what I'm fond of. I love big cities. I love cities like, you know, a New York, a Chicago, a Los Angeles, a London. You know, I like big cities. But again, I've had clients of mine, MO1 clients. I'd say at least probably 40 to 50% of my MO1 clients that I do Skype consultations with live in small to medium-sized cities. And a lot of them have gone on to have a lot of success. So, you know, again, the only thing that's different is simply you're dealing with a smaller pool. But other than that, I think the number one time that small city is challenging if it affects the ratio. That's the most important thing. For example, if you're in a small city but the ratio is still, say, 2 women to every man or 3 women to every man, then you're good to go. But the reality is, at least half of small cities, usually the ratio is about even, or in some small cities, there's actually more men than women. Like, I know one large city that's like that, surprisingly, was San Diego. San Diego, actually, because of the Army base there, as a matter of fact, you're going to the Army. I read this article where it says San Diego is one of the few cities, and particularly one of the few large cities, where it's actually more single men who live in San Diego than single women.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you calling. I appreciate your question. And if you're ever interested in doing a Skype consultation with me, you can go to mode1.net/products, mode1.net/products, MODEONE.net. And, you know, we can talk some more.
Oh, I messaged you on Facebook, so you probably messaged me on there.
What's your name on Facebook?
Jesse. It's my
Jesse.
Jesse.
Oh yeah, I think
23
okay.
Right now, and you know, my last name starts with the W, so
okay.
Put me on there, then you can give me your Skype thing. So.
All right,
thanks.
Jesse.
Appreciate it. Have a great
day. Appreciate you calling in, man. Appreciate you supporting my show.
Yep. So,
all right. Take care.
Yep, you too. Bye.
Well, listeners, that's going to do it for tonight. And, 601 said, I'm on the radio like you, Alan. Just started. I want to be like you in 6 years. I appreciate that. Well, actually, I'm going to go ahead and play my last commercial, and then I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Uh-oh, I see my friend Adrian calling in. She probably want to say something. So, yeah, I'm going to take this intermission, And then listen to what Adrian, you know, first Adrian got to brag about the Heat winning. Yeah. Anyway, I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavored Too, presented by Zay. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Low One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Low One.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't
know that. It's only 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay. There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, and he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my 6-year anniversary celebration show on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
show. I've been on Blog Talk Radio now for 6 years. 6 years. Again, my very first episode was on May 29th, Tuesday, May 29th of 2007. And that was my first episode, period. Again, that was called Balls Out Talk with Mo One. And my first episode of Upfront and Straightforward was June 28th of 2007. June 28th of 2007. Now, I already spoke with my good friend and loyal listener, Irvin V. Pulliam, the third. And now I'm going to be speaking with my most loyal listener from my chat room and good friend since 1997, and she's an incredible sports fanatic, and she can talk trash with the best of them. That's Adrian, a.k.a. Diva 38-23-39. What's up, Adrian, a.k.a. Diva? I know you. First, just go ahead and get it out. What you got to say about the heat?
I want to know why my ass got to get bigger every time I talk to you.
Because I love it when you got a big ass, boy.
I am the best of them.
You said what?
I don't talk shit with the best of them. I am the best of them.
See? That shit talking in itself. Listen to this one. She a piece of work, ain't she? She said, she is the best. Yeah, she is. She is the best female trash talker I might want to say that I've ever met in my life. Because you know when a good trash talker is when you so pissed off you don't want to speak to them for a few days. And Adrian's had me, she's brought me to that place at least two or three times in our friendship where I was like, fuck her, I ain't talking to her for a week. Shit, pissed
me off.
Well,
that's why I sent you that message on Facebook and said, you let me know when you're ready to talk. After the Bulls beat the Heat.
Be dogging out my boy Derrick Rose and shit. She knows she's supposed to respect Derrick Rose. Fast don't lie, but fast can hurt a lot.
His toe, his finger.
So can y'all wrap it up in game six, or you think it's going to go seven?
No, this is done game six. LeBron is finally pissed. I've been waiting for him to get pissed, and he's pissed. So, and Birdman is pissed, too. He's about to whoop Tyler Hansbrough's ass.
Well, I ain't got love for neither one. Well, I ain't got nothing against Birdman, but see, speaking of Derrick Rose, that dude, wasn't it Tyler Hansbrough. Yeah, he had some hard fouls on Derrick Rose about 2-3 years ago that I didn't like. So, see, it's kind of weird for me with the Pacers, and I'm trying to think of other sports people who might be able to relate to this. People who, well, like in your state of Ohio, Cincinnati's at the very bottom of the state, and they kind of lean towards Kentucky, don't they?
It depends. Some of them will lean towards Kentucky, but you know, we Ohio State people through and through in this state.
Because, see, here in Indiana, for those from other areas, see, Northwest Indiana is probably the most unique area of Indiana because we're treated more like an extension of Chicago. We're treated like a suburb of Chicago. So I say no less than 50% of people who live in Northwest Indiana, they root for Chicago teams like the Bears and the Bulls. But I actually live in Indiana. So I get asked the question, well, how come you're not rooting for the Pacers? And I'm like, well, I root for them depending on who they play, but you know, when it's the Bulls versus Pacers, I'm Bulls through and through. Just like when the Bears play the Colts, I never root for the Colts. And some people from other states, they can't understand it. They're like, oh, I can't root for a team from another state. But I'm like, the team from another state for me is right next door. So
we have a couple of cities like that, like Youngstown, the western part of the state. They're right next to Pittsburgh, so sometimes they're Steeler fans over there. And then the people that are on the border, because we have a lot of Cincinnati people that also swing towards Indiana as well as Kentucky. But remember, the Cincinnati's got their own team in the Bengals, so they usually don't sway too much from a football standpoint. But college and NBA they do. And then they also have the Reds, so they don't sway during baseball either.
Okay. Okay. Now, away from sports, which I know you can talk about for like 16 hours, give me, I'm going to ask you the same questions I asked my friend Irv. Number one, just a couple brief thoughts about what motivates you to keep listening to the show, other than just us being good friends. So that would be number one. Number two, has there been an episode this season, the 2012-2013 season, that has stuck out in your mind? And then finally, is the episode beyond this season that still sticks out in your mind?
Well, I find myself coming back every Thursday because I'd say 99% of the time, the topics and the guests are usually pretty interesting and have some thought-provoking things to say and sometimes just downright entertaining. I will say, though, this year I have not been as focused as I have been in the past due to scandal and football games, and it seems like the Heat played every Thursday, so I was trying to multitask. But I still always manage to come on and try to interact as much as I can. I think in this year, the shows that I participated in, I'd probably say my favorite was the one with Nikki. Nikki Ransom. One, because Nikki is my homie.
Oh, that's right. You were the one who referred Nikki to. I just thought about that. Yeah.
I did. And two, Nikki gave some really good tips and suggestions that I had and some things I didn't know. I always like to learn.
You know, somebody just wrote me that tonight, literally. Somebody just wrote me tonight, a male listener. He said, well, he listened, well, I think he listened to both, but he more so listened to, because, you know, I was going to say, her claim to fame now is she's the only guest I've had on both of my, for listeners that don't know, I do a second show kind of, not as frequent, nearly as frequently as Up First Straightforward. It's a pre-recorded show called The Erotic Conversationalist. And my latest episode of The Erotic Conversation is actually with Nikki. And, yeah, Nikki's off the chain. Because I'm going to confess this. On my anniversary, because you don't even hear this on the show, because it's pre-recorded and some things I do edit out, but there was a stretch where Nikki, during an erotic conversation, had my dick so hard that she had me jacking off during the interview. And I came loud. And I know my female listeners, they would have been tripping listening to me, but I took out, I think, like, 95 to probably 99% of the audio of V. But she can switch it up. Like, it's like we were talking almost like in this business manner, and then she just got real sexy on her brother. And I was like, damn, you get my dick out. She was like, okay, stroke that crack pan. Stroke it for me. And she's a hot number. It's cool that her and her husband have such a great, because, like, he knows that she goes into people's homes and, like, watches women suck their husband or boyfriend's dicks, or the man lick the woman's pussy. And I'm, like, tripping, like, damn, so you'll be right there at home? She's like, yep. And I'm like, damn, man, you're talking about a personal sex coach. So, anyway, that was a good recommendation, Adrian. Kudos to you for, yeah, she had, really on both shows she had my, because the end of the episode of the Upfront Straightforward episode, that I think that's when she first was telling me that she goes into people's homes, and my shit went boing, and but definitely during the erotic conversation, yeah, she made me rub one out on the air. I was like, damn. Yeah, she knows her shit when it comes to now, she did some men a disservice now. Did you listen to the Erotic Conversations?
I have not listened to that show yet.
Oh, yeah, she's a trip on there, but she keeps emphasizing, and she says this is her own preference, but it's a preference I'm sure shared by a number of women. She's like, oh, I just love a long, fat dick. Oh, I love a long, fat dick. So, of course, I got two or three emails from girls. Alan, after listening to the right conversations, man, I'm like real insecure, man. I mean, that shit is just not that big, dude, man. That Nikki chick, man, she had me feeling so insecure. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, that's different strokes for different folks. I mean, just like with women, some guys like big titties, some guys like medium titties, some guys don't mind a woman being flat-chested. And some women love big-ass dicks, and there's a handful that don't. Now, I always say, this is what I always tell men. Size always matters, but I'm going to change my definition of it. Most people think when you say size matters, it automatically means that women prefer a big-ass dick, but some women say big-ass dicks hurt. So they would rather a dick be, you know, not super small, but maybe average to slightly above average. But that's still a situation. If a woman even prefers a small-sized dick, that's still saying that size is significant. So size is always going to be significant to different women in different ways. And, but I just love the fact that Nikki, she just keeps it so, I mean, if there's one thing I think you know about me and most of my listeners who've been listening to me for a while, and this relates to the title of my show, I love people who are real. Man, if there's just one general group of people I just love is just real people. And I hate the main guests I've never really connected with is guests who've come on my show and been to one degree or another full of shit. I could tell they were kind of trying to put on a facade or some type of air or pretension, and I just don't like that. But Nikki is just as real as real can get. Okay, so we got Nikki Ransom. Any second episode can be from this season or another season that's still, I mean, I know you've heard over hundreds of my episodes, so it might be hard for you to pick another one, but anyone that still sticks with you like, damn, that episode, wow, that was a trip.
Actually, yeah, there's three. Okay. You know the one with our girl, Miss Sophia.
I mentioned her earlier, Sophia, okay.
One. Number two would be Miss Beige.
Miss who?
Beige.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Beige. Hey, man. Now, if you listen to this as an archive, you see, like I mentioned earlier, in all my anniversary episodes, I start off, for at least the last 3 years, I've started off with an audio reel of a few excerpts from comments, either for comments from guests or comments from listeners. In last year's anniversary show, Adrian got included because I had this guest named Beige Fletcher who wrote this book about how to be a better gold digger. And I read her book. The interesting thing was roughly the first third of her book was actually pretty good. Her book starts out like she's just going to be similar to me, just upfront and straightforward about what she wants. Here's my thing with gold diggers. If a woman has the balls to straight up tell a man, hey, I ain't really interested in you, but I would love for you to spend money on me, shit, I got respect for that like a motherfucker. That shit, that's strong game to me. What I'm against is women, and the same way I'm against men who pretend to, say, want a long-term relationship with a woman when they really know they just want casual sex. I don't like women who pretend like they want to give a guy some pussy or get into a relationship with him when they know they just want him to spend money. And that's where her book started losing me, because she was basically recommending that. So I got on her case during the interview, and Adrian called and basically joined forces with me, or at least she was objective. She just agreed that Beige had gotten to a stretch in the interview where she was starting to evade questions. And the thing was, before the interview, she said I could ask her any question that was directly or indirectly related to her book. She didn't want me asking anything that was just totally unrelated. But every question I asked her was related to the contents of her book, but yet she still start evading questions. So anyway, the classic lines, Adrian says, you need to answer the questions. If you just answer the question, you know, we wouldn't be on your case or something to that effect. And Bane says, well, it's my choice. I can choose to answer certain questions, choose not to answer certain questions. Adrian just does this quick pause. She said, "That's you're just taking the bitch way out." And, oh, man, my chat room just lost it. They just went crazy when Adrian said that. I was like, boom! Owned! And, of course, she went to Twitter and started trying to badmouth me and say I wasn't a good host and all this shit. No, you were taking the bitch way out. You get caught on it. No, because the specific thing that I'll leave her alone was the reason why me and Adrian were getting on case is that in her book, she basically encourages women to mislead men and manipulate men, but she thinks the idea of men misleading and manipulating women is the most disgusting thing on earth. And I'm like, how can you be wishy-washy and inconsistent and contradictory like that with both genders? It's like she's her whole book, particularly the latter two-thirds of it, is just very hypocritical. You know, she thinks, for example, she says in her book that a man just wanting to hook up with a woman and have sex with her, she thinks is unacceptable, disgusting, shallow, superficial. But yet, she gives 5 stars to a woman pursuing a man just for money. Anyway, okay, you said you had 3, so that was 1. What's
said,
2
and
more?
She also said a lot of the basis of her book was not even her. It was based upon her friends. So it wasn't
yeah,
even
that's
her.
Yeah, right.
Like
you called her out on that, too. Yeah, that's true. She sure did. Yeah, no, actually, you already named 2. Okay, you named Sophia and Beige. Okay, what's the third one that still sticks with you?
The guy who wrote the book about raising daughters who didn't have any daughters.
Called
him out on that one, too.
You need to know, Adrian, she, bless her heart, she's just harsh. Sometimes I tend to be hard on a lot of guests who I think are full of shit. But sometimes Adrian is 1.5 times harder on my guests than I am. And for those listeners not familiar with this story, I had a guest, and I take some of the blame because, as they say, for me, it's the term vetted. When people interview people for important positions, they do what's called a vetting process, meaning that they find out as much about that person's background so that they won't be capable of any surprises, you know, like they hire somebody for a job and then find out later the person was a child molester or something. I'll be honest, I don't vet most of my guests. I tend to make a lot of assumptions based on the book they write or what I see on their website. And so this guy, nice guy, I don't have nothing against him personally. You know, he has a great personality and everything. But he wrote this book about fathers having better relationships with their daughters. So I naturally assumed, and that was my mistake for assuming, that this guy had a daughter. So I invite him on the show. We get to talk, and I say, so what do your own daughters think about your advice in the book? And he says, oh, I don't have any daughters. I got 3 sons. A microsecond later, Adrian was in the chat room. She is like, oh, hang up on this motherfucker. He's lost all credibility in this shit now, Alan. Just hang up on his ass. I was like, damn, Adrian. Damn, you coma. She's just like, he has no credibility. I no longer want to listen to anything he has to say.
Yeah, I think we changed the subject in the chat room, too.
Yeah, I believe you guys did, because... Yeah, and it was an instant loss. One thing I learned through looking at different research and stuff to do with, like, being a public speaker is, other than your demeanor on stage and generally what you're talking about, the most important thing to any public speaker, or in this case a radio show guest, is the credibility of what you're saying. Otherwise, you go from being an expert to just being another person with an opinion. Now, there's nothing wrong with having an opinion. You know, we all have them. But when you want to brand yourself as an expert, you know, you can't come on somebody's show and say, I'm an expert in automobile engine repair, And then somebody asks you about you, you know, your credentials, you say, oh, actually, I ain't never been no mechanic. Hey, matter of fact, I ain't never even owned a car. You know, I mean, yeah, you could have read some shit on Google or something and found out some shit, but you ain't gonna have no credibility. And yeah, right when he said he had no daughters, it was like, okay, ain't nobody gonna take his advice. Now, he went on to defend himself. He basically said he was a hairdresser and he had dozens of conversations with women who had conversations with their fathers, and they shared their conversations with their fathers with him. You know, and that was good in its own right, but still, for you to go ahead and write a book, that's like me writing a book called How to Maintain a Successful and Long-Lasting Marriage. I could probably write some opinions based on my observations of my close friends and relatives who've been married. I know some shit. Matter of fact, I will say I've given advice to married people that has helped them out. But that being said, if I was to write a book called How to Sustain a Marriage, the first thing people are going to ask is, okay, are you married? Have you been married before? And if I was to say no to both questions, they'd be like, okay, I ain't reading your book. Because right. Then they're going to be like, you ain't got no credibility. How can you fucking talk about successful marriage and you don't have a successful marriage? Matter of fact, there's a woman, Adrian, God, I can't remember her name. It's probably good. I don't necessarily want to call out. There's this woman, she was kind of a big name self-help person. And she had written all these books. She wrote like 2, 3, maybe even 4 books about sustaining marriage and having spice in your marriage. And then, sure enough, she got divorced. And her career plummeted. Yeah, because people didn't want to read her books anymore. Now, does that mean she didn't have the same knowledge and wisdom? No, she probably still had the same knowledge and wisdom about marriages. But I read this article that said once her fan base found out she got divorced, nobody wanted to read her shit anymore.
Right.
You know, so.
Oh, I just thought of one more. I'm sorry. The one with the two sisters on there that were talking about they would date janitors and they was making $250,000 and she talking about she'd make her man a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, yeah. That was from season 1. Yep. Angry Black Woman, part 2.
Yes.
I had this 2-part series in spring of 2008 called Angry Black Women, and then I had a sequel. Now, in the first one, Adrian, she was off the chain. She called in and was all angry and venting and complaining. And, but in part 2, I had this woman named Michelle Hope. And sure enough, yeah, she was talking about supporting her man. And she's helped her men get to where they are. She said, yeah. And she, when they don't have no money to buy food, I fixed them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I was like, well, shit, I can fix myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. What the fuck?
Right.
That's what any poor, broke motherfucker gonna do. And the chat room was just eating her up, and that became like the running joke the rest of the show. And what was more fucked up, some of my guests tend to join me in the chat room. I would say at least 20, 25, 30% of my guests over the years will also be in the chat room. And she was in the chat room, so she saw people dogging her out. But people was like, they didn't care. It was like, shit, peanut butter and jelly? What the fuck? They're like,
yeah.
Bitch, we thought you was going to say lobster or some shit.
$200,000, you better make that brother some lobster or something.
Yeah, so.
The other unrealistic thing about it, and not to say that it can't happen, but it doesn't happen often. As pretentious as she was making herself out to be on the show, there was no way if she's making over 6 figures that she's kicking it seriously with somebody that's making $25,000. That's just not realistic. Not to say it doesn't happen, but based upon some of the stuff she was saying, she ain't doing that. And I think that's where everybody was like, you know what, if you go, because she kept talking about how she likes to keep it real, and I think everybody in the chat room was like, then, bitch, keep it real. But you're not doing that. And, yeah, she was – and I might have been leading the charge that night, too, because she got mad at me.
Yeah, you've led the charge in quite a few of my chat rooms. Matter of fact, you had one of my male chat room listeners, you I'm going to say you chat room whipped that boy. Guys tell women that they pussy whipped one of their friends. She chat room with one of my male listeners to the point where if she didn't show up, he would be writing me notes like, where's Diva? Why ain't Diva here? We do, man. She gonna be bad. I'm like, damn, dude, what the fuck, man? Yeah, she done got you whipped in the chat room and shit. You can't even enjoy the show without writing me a note to her. Where Diva at? Where I need Diva. Where she at? When she coming back?
So I have to tell you where it is offline. You know that, right?
I think you know who it is. But I appreciate you supporting my show. Oh, and I'm going to give you kudos before I let you go, and I think I did this last year. The biggest kudos I'm going to give Adrian is that I had a show where a guy who actually, I want to say Adrian was critical of this guy. He was pretty well known in the dating relationship genre. He's been on Oprah a couple times, wrote this book about cheating. But anyway, he left my show like about 25 minutes early. And I was pissed. And I was getting ready to end the show, but then I just decided to keep talking. And to my surprise, instead of my chat room diminishing, I just knew within like 5 minutes after he hung up that 90% of people in my chat room were going to leave. Not only did people not leave, but it actually increased. So I was talking about that fact with Adrian, and Adrian said, Alan, I thought you knew already. She said, with all due respect to your guests, you know, you definitely have had some good guests that I'm sure your listeners and I have learned a lot from, but we tune into the show because of you. You're the draw. You need to remember that. And for someone who promotes, you know, teaches men how to increase their confidence and generally presents myself as a confident person, you most people would think I already basically knew that, but I will confess that I genuinely didn't. I thought most of the draw was who I had on the show. And that was a turning point for me. And that's actually what opened the door for what I now refer to as my open forum discussions. And it's interesting because since then, now, I want to say at least two and possibly three of my top five most listened to episodes are open forum discussion episodes where I had no guests. It was just pretty much me talking. But yeah, Adrian was the one who really boosted my confidence in that area, because after I talked to her that day, I was kind of like, yeah, shit, I'm the motherfucking draw. Shoot. You know, fuck, I don't need Will Smith on a show, you know. Okay, well, yeah, Will Smith probably pulled a bunch of motherfuckers, but, you know.
You can bring
that. That's what I really did realize, that, yeah, you know, people will tune in just to listen to me. And they did. And they did. To this day, they have. And so I appreciate you for giving me that pep talk, you know. But see, you probably nullified that pep talk a week later by talking shit about one of my favorite teams.
Well, you may need to change your team. No, on a serious note, Alan, the main reason why I come into the show is to listen to you. You banter with your guests. You're always entertaining. You're always informative. It's fun being in the chat room, seeing new people, making new friends. And I come to the show on Thursdays to listen to you. And sometimes I get something from the guests, sometimes I don't. But I'm here to support you. I'm here to be with you. So kudos to you for 6 years. Keep doing what you do.
Thank you. Much love and respect to you, sweetie.
All right,
take care. Thank you so much. Take care. All right, folks, that's going to do it. For my show tonight, thank you for joining me. See, I said I was only going to do an hour tonight, and I've done just about 2 hours now. That happened last year. I said I was going to do, I think, an hour and a half, and I did 2 hours. But I want to thank all my live listeners who tune in to me every week. I want to thank all my archive listeners. That's actually the highest percentage of my listeners is the archive listeners, the ones who listen to it after it's live. But I love all you guys who listen. As I told Amy when she called in earlier tonight, that's the reason I do the show, is because of you. You know, I think when I was younger, when I'd hear TV hosts say stuff like that, I'd say, oh, they just kissing up to the audience. You know, they just. But now being a radio host, you know, I will say, it's my listeners who drive me to do what I do. Because, again, as I told Amy, I'm going to be real. If I was only having, say, 50 to 100 people listening to my show per week, I mean, that's still, for some people, that would be probably a decent number. But I would probably lose interest in doing my show, honestly. If I was only averaging about 100, 200 listeners a week, I would, you know. But, you know, I've had some shows that have crossed the 50,000 listener mark. You know, most of my shows do definitely more than 10,000 listeners a week. So, you know, I just appreciate everyone who takes time, definitely takes time out of their Thursday to listen to me live. I always give extra kudos to my live listeners because you're taking. Like Adrian, she could be doing 15 different things, but she takes time to listen to my show. One time, she was in the hospital, and she was listening to my show. Irv, who I was talking to earlier, there's times he's been at social activities or driving or doing whatever, but he still listens to my show. You know, I appreciate that shit, man. That shit means a lot to me. And on that note, I'm going to say, yes, Diva, that is the right name, yes. she just wrote me asking who was that, who always was jocking her. Yep. All right. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend. And I more than likely will see you next Thursday. I'm not sure at this point. I'll keep you posted through Twitter, Facebook, and Blog Talk Radio. At minimum, I'll see you 2 weeks from tonight. So it's going to be either or. I might see you next week, but there's at least a 50% chance I might not see you until 2 weeks from tonight. So either way, talk to you soon. Take care.